SU News Time is 9:08. Good morning, everybody. This is Southern U Talk with Dale Desmond and the man of the hour. He's the new St. George mayor, Jimmy Hughes. Has he gotten used to that yet?
Not yet.
It's like when you get a new calling at church and they start calling you president. You're like, oh, what? Who are we talking about here? What are you looking over your shoulder? What's happening? He's Jimmy Hughes, a longtime councilman. Jimmy, you guys, you've gone through lots of campaigns, running for city council, on city council. Now you've jumped into mayor. Let's pretend somebody just moved here, has never met you before. Let's talk about you. Grew up here, moved away for a while, came back. You've got a really interesting story. We've chatted several times about your interesting story. Talk real quick about you, your family, growing up here, being away and then back, and get people kind of, because they've seen your road signs, they've seen your signs, and maybe they voted for you, maybe they didn't, I don't know, I assume they did.
We have a choice here in our country, right?
That's right.
We can vote for who we want.
Yeah. Who is Jimmy Hughes, new mayor of St. George?
Well, thank you, Dale, and by the way, congratulations on this new show.
Thanks, man. You're
the perfect man for the job.
Say that to all the girls.
I appreciate
that. Thank you.
So, yes, as you said, I was born and raised right here in little old St. George, and I'm super proud of that. Had a great childhood growing up here, went to Dixie High School and then did a little bit of, college at then Dixie State University.
Yep.
So, and then had the opportunity to serve in the LDS mission, then had an opportunity to go to work in Southern California.
Yeah.
So, like a lot of people my age here from St. George, if we wanted to have a little better economic opportunity, we moved away. That used to be the issue, right?
We had
to move away and find our way and make some money. So I did that and spent some time in Los Angeles, Salt Lake City, and finally back home. I met my wife in Salt Lake City, and then we made our way back here to St. George, which she loves. She's from Vernal, which there's not a lot you probably can't love after living in Vernal. Actually, I love Vernal. Vernal's, if you've ever, the drive there is not always the best, but you know what? There's some great stuff in Vernal. So,
and by the way, if anybody's never met Tawny, your wife, you married way up, brother.
Oh, man.
Way up.
That old saying, the better half, she's better three quarters to 90%.
100%.
Yeah.
90, maybe even 80%.
100%. 100%. I always tell people it's better to be lucky than good.
That's right.
And in that category, I've been super blessed and super lucky. So we have five children. My youngest just turned 18 yesterday.
Oh, boy.
So happy birthday to Quentin yesterday. So we're
congrats.
Quickly entering that area of life. Where
senior this year?
Yeah, at Crimson.
At Crimson, okay.
So... yeah, super blessed to have all my children still here in St. George. Unlike me, they're able to have some great economic opportunity here in St. George. So they've been able to stay and start their families. I've got three grandsons, the best thing in the world.
I don't have any grandkids yet. I think we're getting there.
Yeah, I'm glad I stayed
maybe
close to my children so I can be able to see my grandchildren.
Yeah. Right. Well, that's the only reason. My mom said the only reason that she had kids was to have grandkids.
Exactly. I didn't realize that at the time, but man, that blessing at the end of the rainbow is good. So yeah, so we moved back to St. George probably 20 plus years ago. I think my daughter Keely, she's 21 now, so we moved right before she was born back here to St. George and quickly got involved back in the community here as we I changed career and got into the mortuary business. So my wife and I operate Hughes Mortuary here in St. George. And I've always been in the cattle business. I grew up that way. My stepfather had a lot of farm ground over on the Green Valley area.
He was a
farmer there.
Yeah.
And so that's just part of who I am. Having a few cows around is just part of my life.
Not a lot of Green Valley cattle anymore these days.
Nope. I'm down in the Washington Fields area now, and even there, it's have a whole lot of...
Nope.
So what's really nice, though, my neighbors down there, they love to see the horses and the cows, and they hope I never develop, so...
Yeah. And I know Natalie Larson was here a couple weeks ago, and she's kind of saying the same thing. It's just like she's got some, animals, and it's tougher and tougher out there. Hopefully Staley can... can hold off the developers, you know, and keep some of that green ground out there.
Yeah. I'm not quite as good of a farmer and rancher as Natalie and Milt, but someday I aspire to be as good as Natalie and her husband Milt. Good people, and they love agriculture as well.
Yeah. So you served on city council how many years? You were on.
I just finished the middle of my fourth term, so 14 years.
14 years on city council. Yeah. And that, I mean, you ran for mayor the last time, didn't make it. Yes. This time you did. What have you learned from being on city council that will prepare you for being mayor of St. George this coming term?
So I've learned a couple of things. One, that you can't please everyone. Two, that relationships matter. And number three, something I've always been taught through, you know, childhood, is that you should never give up on what you think is right and what you think should be done. If at first you don't succeed, try again.
Yeah.
As long as you're on the right side, you will eventually win. So those are some of the things that I've learned. And I've met a lot of great people over those years, too. And just, you know, you realize a lot of things about city government. And you learn a lot of things about city government that you can then put into play. And that's what I feel like I've learned, is that even though I may have something in mind personally, it's always important to listen to others and make sure that you're listening to what the public in general wants and to what others want, and then try to reach some kind of a compromise. So a lot of lessons that you can learn after doing this for a while, and hopefully good lessons. And hopefully we put those into play rather than go the opposite way and just look out for self-interest.
I love it. A couple more questions about that. Real quick, I do want to say the text lines are open. You can text in 435-261-4540. Newly minted St. George Mayor Jimmy Hughes in studio this morning. If you have questions, comments, fond childhood memories, I don't know, whatever, you can text in 435-261-4540. In the next segment, we'll open phones, take some calls. You know, you got things, wish list stuff, which takes me to my next question, Jimmy, is I imagine, and maybe you'd experience this on city council, but being mayor has got to be like, in one way, winning the lottery, in that you've suddenly got everybody that you may or may not have talked to in the last 20, 30, 40 years. Are you 50 yet? How old are you?
Yeah, I'm over that.
Over 50. Okay. I'm just wondering. you have all these people that have come out of the woodwork that all of a sudden have been like, hey, Jimmy, can we get a fill in the list? I remember I used to bang on John Pike about getting a Winco. Yeah. He was very diplomatic about telling me to shut up and sit down.
But you
find that all of a sudden, since you're mayor, you're suddenly getting a lot more friends coming out of the woodwork.
Absolutely. And don't get me wrong, I do have a lot of really good friends who I love and admire. Mm. But yeah, we've talked about this at the city offices. There's a little bit of a, hey, let's see what the new guy can do. And some people feel like he's the new mayor. He now has a magic wand.
Yeah.
He can fix everything.
Yeah.
Now, while I hope some of that's true, I don't think I can, I've never been one that said I will fix everything, but I'll give you free ice cream, right?
I'll take it.
So yeah, there's a little bit of that, but I don't want people to shy away from reaching out to me. But on the other hand, you know, we have to be a little bit realistic about what the mayor's duties and responsibilities and abilities to make change are. I will be doing my best to make sure some of those things are put into play that I talked about in the campaign. But it's not going to happen overnight.
Yeah.
Most likely. There will be a few things that you might see quite quickly. And other than that, you have to just remember that we're serving an entire city, not just those people that I know and my very closest friends.
Sure.
Important to me. Don't get me wrong. Those people are super important to me, and I want to make sure they're taken care of.
Speaking of, you were talking about waving this magic wand. One of my favorite TV shows, Ted Lasso. I don't know if you've seen it.
Okay, good. Yeah.
He gets brought in as manager of the soccer team, and he has a suggestion box. And one of the things is the water pressure is terrible in the locker room. And in the first week, he gets it fixed, and everyone's like, "Holy crap, he's actually." Yeah. So what's some low hanging fruit that you think? or that you find, or you're feeling like, I think we can get this done pretty quick. Things that are, you know, easy, you know, some low-hanging fruit on your agenda.
Sure, that's an easy one right off the bat. And we talked about this during the campaign a little bit. And whether it's was deserved or not, there's this perception that somehow public comment and hearing from the public is not welcome. St. George City Council. And some of that came up in the campaign. And again, there's all kinds of reasons why that happened, which we don't need to dwell on. However, we can send a message very quickly that is not the case. So at the first meeting in every month, we have a kind of an open comment period where you can come and address the entire council.
It's like testimony meeting.
Yeah, sure. it is. And quite frankly, some things get said that make you go, okay.
Just like it's, okay.
Yeah. But we have freedom of speech here in our country. We want to hear from people. Now, we ask that people be respectful of our time, respectful, you know, have some suggestions with your complaints, and be brief. The message kind of got out there that, hey, that's not welcome.
Yeah.
And again, whether that was just perceived or because of some of the administrative decisions before me, we're going to fix that right off the bat.
Yeah.
So in tonight's meeting, I'll be talking about that. We've opened up that public comment to be a back to what it was, to where you can come and speak freely when you need, how you need. Now, if we get overwhelmed, we obviously have to have some decorum and have a meeting that does end at some point. So we'll make those adjustments as necessary. But we want to hear from the public. So first and foremost, we want input. We need input. And the only way we're going to make the best decisions for all of St. George is if we have input from all different sources. Whether we agree with you or not, some of the best things I've learned and best decisions I've been able to be a part of is by listening and having to actually understand what the opposition might feel or think. So that's important to me. So that's going to be right off the bat happening tonight in our first meeting. So
first city council meeting, beautiful new chambers. My first time I've been down there, weirdly, it's your swearing in. Are you surprised at the turnout? I talked to several people. I said David Cordero, maybe I shouldn't tell him, say that he said this, but he's like, I'm really surprised how many people showed up for the swearing in today.
Yeah, I've been involved in that a few times, so I've seen several, and usually it's a fairly low-key event. I was pleasantly surprised, humbled, and pleased at the turnout. Of course, everybody was there for me, of course, or my swearing in.
Sure.
We had Natalie Larson and Michelle Tanner being sworn in. But it was so inspiring and motivational for me to see so many people who are in support and who are excited about a change, excited about 2026, and are taking an active role in it. I had some people tell me, yeah, we're here because we've never had anybody we voted for win before. So I was like, well, I don't know if that's a compliment or what. But you know, hey, you know, we want buy-in from the public. That's, I think there's a lot of apathy in the world of public service and being our elected officials. I mean, it's like, who cares what they're doing? I don't talk about politics, or those guys are all corrupt anyways. I love it just to motivate people to be involved. The common citizen, that's where things get done, and that's important to me. After all, that's what I am, and before I got in this job, you know, I'm just a citizen, and I want the best for my community.
Yeah. Speaking of that, let's get into some of these topics people have been asking about. And by the way, you can text in 435-261-4540. He's St. George City Mayor, brand new, sworn in. Was it a week? Monday.
Just Monday, yeah.
Feels like a week ago. It feels like more than a week ago. 435-261-4540. One of the big hot button topics, and it came up a lot in your campaign, was growth.
Yeah.
Water and growth. I say this as we're getting rain this morning. Thank goodness.
Yeah.
What are some of your views on managing growth? And you know, when people come up to you on the street, hey, we're growing too fast. Hey, we're not growing fast enough. What are some of your thoughts on that as you get started this week?
That's one of the top things that we hear, obviously, as we're out campaigning or we're out visiting with the public. And really, since I started 14 plus years ago, that's been the topic, right? We've just been in this growth mode now, a little lately, probably faster than sometimes in the past, but a little more growth. But it's always been a growing city. And so I've looked at it from this perspective because it is kind of a bittersweet thing for me. We talked a little bit about the fact that I moved away to try to find economic prosperity, a little better economic opportunities, and then was able to come back. The growth has provided for that, for an opportunity for people to make a really good living here, right here in St. George, Utah, in little old St. George, Utah. So, but on the other side of that, like I said, I feel like I grew up in an idyllic place at the size St. George was when I graduated from high school, Dixie High School. I felt like we had everything that we possibly could need.
Yep.
And it was just a place where you knew most everyone. We had another high school, Pineview, but we knew almost everyone there. We were friendly rivals and all those things. And then we have a lot more explosive growth. Now, I ask people this all the time that complain about that. When did you move here? And most people, and I ask you,
and I have to go.
Dale, how long have you been here?
I feel like I've been here for a million years. It's only a little over 8 years.
Yeah,
that I've been here, and I feel like I know everybody.
And most of the time, you can ask that question, and they have moved here. You know, there's not as many people who were born here like myself. And whether they moved here 40 years ago or 8 years ago.
Yeah.
And so you have to say, when was the proper time to close the door? When was the proper time to close the door? And maybe it was before you came. I don't know. But here we are. So let's make the best of it. And quite frankly, we asked for this. Our previous city fathers, they met and said, how can we bring more prosperity to Southern Utah? We need more people.
Yeah.
A lot of that started with the construction of I-15 through the gorge, which I have a personal connection to. Then they started saying, hey, let's build a golf course right here. I can almost see it. Red Hills.
Yep. I've never played it, by the way.
Yeah. Fun. I've never played.
I've looked at it. I've done the trail up here, the Owens Trail, and looked down on it. Never played.
Fun little golf course to go play on. So, and that the whole desire behind that is this: we wanted to create an atmosphere where people would want to come here. And spend money here and bring some economic prosperity. And that happened. Look, it worked. And here we are. And it feels a little bit like, you know, it's just the tip of the iceberg as people are coming here. And I've talked to people, talked to people and they're from Salt Lake or California.
Yep.
It's not necessarily that anymore. It's everywhere.
On a related question to that, you meet people all the time that I meet them all the time that are like, you know, they aren't from here. They're not LDS. Some are you know, find a way to fit in. Some are just like, this place sucks. If you're not Mormon, it's terrible. How do you feel as mayor? I don't know if there's anything you can even do about that, or what are some of your thoughts on that to reaching out to people that are not members of the prominent religion?
Yeah, it to me it's super easy. If we just be ourselves, I think those people will catch on, and it starts with them. Sometimes, if they come with an open mind, you can find those kind of, if you want to call them prejudices or whatever.
Yeah, you want to call them.
You can find those if you look for them. But if you're not looking for them, and you're just looking to be an active participant in the community and assimilate.
Yeah.
And you know, when in Rome, kind of, you know, respect what the Romans do. You're going to love this community. And I have been talking to a lot of people who are not of the predominant religion, who have moved here from places like California, who love it because of our heritage and our legacy here, and because of the people that came here and that settled here, because it has created an atmosphere that they love. And they're like, do not change it. People that are moving from all over, they come here because of what we have. And yes, we got these beautiful red rocks and we got all this outdoor activity, but there's also something else here, and it's what we've created as far as an atmosphere for people to live. It's our community. It's helping our neighbors. It's all those things that we don't like to talk about or we're afraid to say sometimes. It's the Dixie spirit, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we want to help our neighbors. We want to have a community where everyone can do what we swore an oath to do just Monday, which is to enjoy the blessings of liberty for ourselves and our posterity. That's really what we're trying to do. Everybody wants to have those blessings, and that's, you know, that's how the Constitution words it. These are blessings that we're given, and let's not mess it up.
We've got a really great community, and you know, during COVID, I feel like the whole, especially the West Coast, discovered St. George in a way. Yeah. You know, I was born on the East Coast and moved out west when I was a teenager and spent most of my life out here. But on the East Coast, if you live in New England, you retire to Florida.
Sure.
Back in the day, you retire to Florida.
Yeah.
I think back in the day, it was you live on the West Coast, you retire to Arizona. Maybe to California, you know, if you're in California, you know, you're kind of born and raised there, you love the weather, whatever, and things have gone crappy there.
Yeah.
Now it's like the entire West Coast discovered during COVID, they discovered the wonder of Southern Utah. As people have moved in and you were on the city council, you guys have gone through these initiatives of cutting out green areas to help with the water situation. What is your plan moving forward to continue the water? Because that's another hot topic everybody has to talk about. What about water? You can't keep, you know, issuing building permits with the water situation. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah. So let me touch on water, but I just want to go back a little bit to what you were saying. As people came here during COVID, it wasn't just because of the natural beauty. It was because everywhere else they were locked down, right?
Right.
We respected the right of people to associate and do some of those things. We were having some sporting events. Namely, I remember when we had the Dixie Roundup.
Yeah.
And it was like, how can you do this?
Yep.
You know, and they passed out, you know, bandanas so you could wear them like in an old Western. But we had the rodeo, and I had so many people thank me for that. Yeah. So it's not just the beauty. It's the atmosphere that we created where people are free.
Yeah.
Right? Free to do what they want to do.
Yeah.
Now, to do that, we do have to have water. To be free to do what we want to do, we do have to have water, and that is a big issue. And that's with growth, that's the next thing I get is, hey, you need to do something about water. Where are we getting the water? And they're right. Now, our rain and our moisture here comes in bunches, right?
Yeah.
All at once.
All at
or
once
never
or not at all.
Yeah.
Right.
So we've learned that you build reservoirs and you store that water. That's really the big focus of not only the water district, but would be my big focus is I learned that as a cattle rancher out on the Arizona Strip. Same thing applies. We have to learn how to store our water. And we've been doing a very good job of that, and we need to do more of that in the future. And you're seeing things like the graveyard wash where our reuse water will go. And I know there's been some talk that they finally secured all the property necessary for the Warner Valley Reservoir,
yes,
which has been in the planning
forever,
planning since World War II, actually.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So you're going to see those things come online in the near future and more ways to storage and then to store water. And then we do have to remember that conservation. Look, another thing that people complain about is, hey, you're telling us to conserve water, yet you're using water here and there. I think the message has to be changed that, look, we're always in a water conservation mode in Southern Utah. It's just, it's how I grew up. My mother always taught us, don't leave the tap on while you're brushing your teeth.
Okay.
You know, when you're ready to get in the shower, you get in and get out. You don't waste water. If you don't finish drinking your glass of water, pour it on a plant. You know, those kind of things. That's how harsh my mother was, right?
Yeah, I like it.
Because that's how she grew up. And water, water is a precious resource. And so conservation is just a way of life. Now, do I think that we should mandate that everyone else go without so we can build, you know, massive resorts for the rich and famous? It's not always my first choice.
No.
I think people, the individual, should be able to enjoy some of that water. So when you're using a little bit of water, hey, that's part of the blessings of liberty.
Mm-hmm.
And so use it and use it wisely.
And there's a lot more to come. We're going to be chatting more with a newly sworn in Jimmy Hughes, St. George mayor. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come right back and talk about why Jimmy, why not Jim, why not James, and a bunch of other fun stuff. We want to take your questions. You can text in 435. Make sure I get the number right. Andy used to give out his cell phone number when he was on here. And I don't know why he would do it. Like, it was...
I'm one of those lucky ones.
He's a crazy person.
Has Dale's number.
All right, 435-261-4540. You can text in questions for a new St. George Mayor Jimmy Hughes. We'll come back after this here on KDXU. KDXU News Time is 9:35. What's up, guys? It's Dale Desmond. This is Southern U Talk. In studio, the newly sworn in mayor of St. George, Jimmy Hughes, So why Jimmy? Why not James? Why not Jim? Was it a dad thing? Was it my dad was Jim?
Sure.
Is that what it was?
Yeah, Jimmy was my father's name, who I never met. He was killed just prior to me being born. And so my mother tells a story that she had no choice. People would come in to see the new baby and say, well, we know what his name's going to be, being that he had just passed away about a month and a half prior to my birth. And so that's what it got. My mother was wishing that she was going to have a girl in those. I'm so old that they didn't really know what they were having in those days.
But,
because
you're not that old. Come on.
With him passing away, she thought, I can't raise a son without a father. So I hope this is a girl. So here I am, busting my mother's hopes. And so that's kind of how she said. She said, I had no choice.
They named him for me.
Yeah. And all my friends growing up, they know me as Jim. I used that most of my life. Oddly enough, when I moved back to St. George, I started using Jimmy more. One, because I was getting older and Jimmy made me sound younger. And there was another Jim Hughes here in town, which I was getting confused with.
Okay.
And so I thought, I'll differentiate by just using my full name, Jimmy, and it's just kind of stuck. So,
and that's easy.
Yeah.
He's Jimmy Hughes, the new St. George mayor. You had a meeting this week with the other mayors here in Washington County. What was that like? What did you guys discuss? Was it kind of getting to know you? How did that go down?
Yeah, this first meeting was a kind of get to know you and what this mayor's meeting is about. But I think it's really healthy for our surrounding cities and the mayors to get together. And, it was super cool. There's a lot of new mayors in Southern Utah. And it's an opportunity to be able to see what the problems may be in other cities and what their successes are. And I really enjoyed it, getting to know some of those new mayors and some of the mayors that are staying on. And I think it's a healthy exercise. So mostly a get-to-know-you meeting in this first one, and I'm looking forward to they meet once a month, and I'm looking forward to...
Is it a formal? Is it informal?
No,
is it
like, really informal.
Is it like meet at somebody's house or at a restaurant?
A lot of times they do it on Zoom, and this one was in person, and they had it at Santa Clara Town Hall. And in that meeting, we've decided to kind of meet at different cities, which I think is good as well. And quite frankly, I prefer an in-person meeting versus Zoom. Technology is great, and we can meet with people all over without having to come together by using Zoom and other online platforms for meetings. But there's nothing like being in the room when those decisions are being made.
Right, the room where it happens.
And interacting with people. It's a different... We all know that. It's a different thing when you're sitting in front of somebody versus texting or looking at them on a screen.
So. See, we talked about city council meeting tonight.
Yep.
First one with you as mayor.
Yeah.
What does that look like? What's on the agenda? What are we? What's coming up tonight? If people want to come and attend and sit in and watch and be a part of it, what's coming up on it?
Pretty short agenda tonight. Just a couple of administrative actions as far as some zoning ordinances. The biggest thing probably on the agenda is the open public comment period. We are also having a work meeting today that'll start before that, which is a little more informal meeting where we don't take a lot of action, but we're going to be discussing just some items of different business administration. And we will be doing that at 4:00. So public's always welcome to both of those meetings. That's part of just as we talk about that's part of something I want to do as mayor is maybe consolidate our meetings a little more so that we can maybe not meet as often and more effectively. Now, I know that sounds crazy, but it's one of the things that my wife always says is, man, it seems like you guys like to have meetings sometimes just to have meetings.
Yeah.
So we want to avoid having meetings just to have meetings. And quite frankly, some people get really nervous every time government bodies meet. So we can be more efficient in that, and that's something I want to implement. And the city manager has been really on board with that, and that's good.
That's good. I like that. Yeah. I like that a lot. And it's 7:00. What time is that?
So our work meeting starts at 4:00.
Okay.
And then the regular meeting will start at 5:00. So usually our work meeting is just in our conference room. Again, really more of an informal discussion type meeting. Then we move into the council chambers and have that more formal meeting where we'll take action on a couple of items. And then if we don't finish our work meeting, we'll move back into the work meeting after and try to finish that up, which might help us avoid a meeting, another meeting at some later date.
Yeah. We've done that.
We want to make sure we meet when business is necessary. So we still have the opportunity to call meetings when they're needed. But efficiency is something that's important to me as a business owner. And it's kind of what I've tried to bring to the table in this job as mayor is to be efficient. The city should be ran like a business, so let's do it.
And a related question to that, how soon, I know John Pike was pushing for it, how long until we think the St. George mayor will be a full-time job?
Oh, man. That's a double-edged sword.
We're like the only one, right, in the top five, or at least, that aren't in the state.
Yeah, and then there's a lot of smaller cities that do have full-time. In fact, over the holidays, I was eating at a local restaurant, and I met the mayor of Murray.
Okay.
By accident.
Yeah.
And he's a full-time mayor of a city of about 50,000 people, full-time mayor. And then I said, is this your family member? And he said, no, this is my chief of staff.
Whoa.
I'm like, wow. Yeah. So, yeah, there's a lot of discussion on that. And I'm still, the jury's still out on that. Here's the thing. When you have a full-time mayor, you're going to elect a full-time politician, someone that wants that job to do that. Now, on the flip side of that, you're also electing someone that's taking the job seriously. So there's some give and take.
Yeah.
Someone like me may not have been interested in a full-time job, although I'm quickly learning, and I kind of knew this, that we might be treating our mayor right now like a full-time job, even though it's not technically that.
Yeah, we've got a caller on the line I want to jump to here in a second. But I am curious, what does a day in the life look like for you as mayor? I mean, I know you've only been really mayor for about 4 days.
Well, lots of meetings like we talked about.
Yeah.
And really that's part of that's because I want to hear from people. So this full week, I spent very little time at my real job,
you
know, because this is considered a part-time job. And thank goodness I have a really good staff there and a lot of meetings. And part of that is because I want to make sure that people understand I am committed.
Mm.
I am accessible and I want to do the job. So lots of meetings. And lots of meeting with leaders of other communities and with our own staff. Maybe you run to your office and try to do a little work. I did do some of that.
Answer some emails. Yeah. Like you have your phone, hopefully organized.
the technology is good and bad, right?
That's true.
I don't know how we would live without
this.
Everything's right here, and yet it gives us some freedom at the same time as kind of holds us down, I guess.
So. Lines are open 673-5890, 673-5890. Let's jump on the phones. Good morning. You're on KDXU with Jimmy Hughes, the new mayor of St. George. What do you got?
Morning, new mayor Jimmy.
Good morning.
We're looking forward to your administration and your ideas. I like a bunch of them.
Awesome.
A couple things. I was by your new digs. By the way, it's kind of hectic still, trying to pay my utilities. What a joke. But anyway, hope that gets smoothed out. Anyway.
I've heard that a few times. We're smoothing that out. It's going to get better.
It's pretty, though. A lot of glass there. That looks good.
Yeah.
Okay, that was my next question. What kind of dollar sign is on this new building?
So let me ask you that. Let me ask you that question. Just give me a little guess of what you think it is. Because actually, I'm pretty proud of where we ended up on that. We have built a parking garage and what I think is a world-class building there on that beautiful corner. What's your best guess? How many millions?
Let's see. Are you cheaper than the counties?
Oh, absolutely.
You had to be.
You don't compare. Yeah, we'll go toe-to-toe to the county. I love those guys, but we'll go toe-to-toe with them any day.
Let's see. The water district on the hill was $6 million, and you guys are three times that size, so I'm thinking.
What was the county building? Do you remember what the county building was?
No idea. I can't remember.
It was a lot more, but here's where we are with the parking garage. With the parking garage, just under $50 million.
Okay, I'll take a
bath
on that.
So
it's a lot of concrete.
Yeah,
that was, and it's cool. It's super easy to get over into the city building, into the city hall. It's pretty cool, and all the periphery as well,
and the space. And if you look at building costs today, I mean, we get a bid on a park restroom, and you would be surprised at what those are. To me, when we went and looked at a new city office building in Mill Creek City, a newer city up north. $90 million, and I think we got twice the building for almost half the price.
That's fantastic.
So
now the next question was, I got a phone alert the other day says you guys flunked some kind of water deal. Do you know anything about that, or is that the water district problem?
Say that one more time. I didn't quite catch it.
There was an alert that you had some kind of test. I guess you guys weren't running on the water.
Sure. Okay, so This can get really deep in the weeds, but I'll give you the brief. This was about the arsenic test. Is that what you're?
Yeah, arsenic.
Okay, so there is arsenic in the water, in a lot of the water around here. We know that it's part of the treatment process. In fact, we built a new arsenic treatment plant up by the Gunlock Reservoir to remove that arsenic. There's some government guidelines on how much arsenic can be in your water. And without getting really into the weeds, it used to be like 50 parts per billion or whatever it is. And it went down to 10. All that happened there, according to my understanding and talking to Scott Taylor, our water manager, is that because of the way they had installed a valve, our testing was taking place before we were blending the water. So the standard process is to blend the water to make sure we reduce the amount of arsenic to where it's considered safe drinking levels. And the testing that we were doing was taking that water before it was blended. And so at that point, we were getting higher than acceptable levels of arsenic. He's assured me that that did not go into the drinking water supply because the testing was being done in the wrong spot. So yes, a mess up, which we can correct, but no, the water was still meeting the guidelines, but we did receive a violation for that. And by that happening, we were required to give notice that we failed that test. So,
okay.
But Scott's all over that.
Yep.
They fixed the valve, so the testing's being done on the right side.
On the right side of the ditch.
And the water was, he assures me the water was still being blended correctly, and that's super important that we have safe drinking water. But a good question.
Good question. Thank you for calling in. A text here says, I never thought I'd be looking at states in the South just to afford space and a future for my kids. What are you going to do to make sure families like mine don't have to leave St. George to survive? And you talked a little bit about this earlier,
about
economic growth here and making sure they have good paying jobs that can stay in pace.
Right. So that's, to me, that's a big key, is to make sure we can make enough money to afford a home. Some of the things are kind of out of our control when we're in a free market society. There's that supply and demand, and the demand is so great. That the prices have gone up. Yes, it pains me. I have children trying to buy homes now who have bought homes, and it's super difficult. Even myself at my stage in this career, trying to buy a starter home today, it seems, almost out of reach. So there are some challenges there. A lot of the things that get proposed to me are just nibbling around the edges. I do believe there will be some market corrections that will come. They usually always do. I mean, I've been in St. George long enough to know, my house, I couldn't give away at one time. Now it's worth three times, four times what I paid for it. So, what we can do at this level of government is make sure we're not, having too many fees. That was part of our property tax increase discussion, is if we increase property taxes, that's going directly to the cost of housing. So we would take that seriously, and we avoided raising property taxes. There are some things like that we can do, but the biggest change is going to come from market conditions. A lot of these things we're doing is just nibbling around the edge. So we just got to create an atmosphere where builders can build homes effectively. Also, some of our zoning, yes, we have to be forward thinking on that, so we can have some smaller lots that maybe are more conducive to an affordable home. But I do not think that the answer to home affordability is always just higher and higher density. Yes, some people want to live in a smaller, higher dense neighborhood, but I think the American dream still is this little small patch of land where you might have a small backyard for your children to play in, mm-hmm. something that you can call your own. Let's not forget that. It's not just about having a house. It's about home ownership and that pride that comes with it. So there's a good mix. There's a good balance that we can do, but let's not swing the pendulum too far one way to where everything is just high-rise condos, and that's all we have to live in.
Yeah, and it's good balance, and that's what I like about the scope and the of the city council is you look at the members in the city council, you got people that represent a lot of different walks of life. You work with a lot of seniors, and you've got Michelle that's in medical, and you've got real estate. Everybody, it just seems like there's a good representation there. Speaking of city council, I know I want to get you out of here. I know you've got a meeting coming up at 10 o'clock. Yeah, I want to try and get you out of here a few minutes early.
Sure.
I know that right now there is the 2-week. Process going on right now. You said the other day when we chatted at the swearing in that the top thing was to get your city council seat replaced. There's a 2-week process that began Monday.
Correct. Well, so the application process,
yes.
I think ends tomorrow.
Okay.
So if you want to apply for
that's coming. Okay.
For the seat that I vacated by being sworn in as mayor, You have until tomorrow to apply. You can go down to the city office or go online and fill out the application. Then we've noticed the meeting, so we can have that meeting on the 22nd where we will interview all those applicants.
Yep.
And the council, as the mayor, I don't have a vote in this unless there's a tie.
Unless there's a tie, right.
The council will then select someone to fulfill the remaining 2 years of my term. This is a super important decision.
Yep.
Obviously, where there's four council members now, there'll be five, which avoids a tie. And so that's kind of the balance of power, if you will, is that fifth council person. So that's super important. Sign up if you want an opportunity. Also, it's okay to contact the council members and find out what they're looking for.
Yeah.
And advocate maybe for your candidates. It's sort of an election process, but in this case, there's only four people that are going to be electing that person for that 4 year term. Once that 4 year term is up, then it'll be back to an open.
And election. That's how Natalie got on to begin with.
Actually, no, Natalie applied.
Oh, she ran. Yeah, that's right. She ran yeah. And didn't make it. Then got it voted down.
Yeah.
Tonight at the city council meeting. Open forum, will there be an opportunity for people to make a pitch for themselves?
Generally, we don't want to talk about things that are coming up on the agenda. We want to talk about something that's not on the agenda. So that's probably not the appropriate forum to make a pitch because that's coming up on our agenda. So we want to make sure it's fair so that if there's people in opposition of something on the agenda, they can have proper notice to be there.
Okay.
So part of the rules is let's not talk about things that are on the agenda next week or the following week so we can have a fair discussion. Come and talk about whatever you want.
Yeah.
It's not on the agenda next week.
Is there a point later in the agenda tonight for people to come and make a pitch to... Is there a spot not on the agenda tonight?
No. So as of right now, we don't have a full list of candidates. So it's kind of a little premature.
Okay.
After Friday, good time to make a pitch.
Then you can do it.
Yeah, good time come and make a pitch to the council and make sure they're making the proper decision. Looking forward to it. It's going to be fun.
I am as well. It's interesting just seeing the whole process unfold. And so I'm excited for it. I want to be very tuned in to see how this goes. We have a lot of friends on the city council, a lot of people I know, so and several I know that are applying for it.
Yeah.
You got a meeting you got to jump to. We're going to get you out of here a couple minutes early, but we'll be back. You'll be back next month.
Thanks for having me. Yeah, I'll be back.
Absolutely. A lot of fun.
Whenever I know you want me.
You've been here before. You said that. You just said whenever you want me. Yeah. You guys heard it.
Getting the word out is a good thing to do. So thank you for what you do.
All right. Thanks, Jimmy. He's Jimmy Hughes, the new St. George City Mayor. KDXU News Time, 9:53. Good morning. KDXU News Time is 9:56. It is pouring out there. If you're out there, you're driving around, be safe. Watch for hydroplaning, all that stuff. This weird stuff falling out of the sky is called rain, and it's a good thing. So we want to keep it coming, baby. If you're traveling north, things are getting a little sticky on the roads. And by sticky, I actually mean the opposite of sticky. It's pretty nasty up there. So if you're headed to Enterprise or Pine Valley or even up north on I-15, things are going to be looking not good road-wise as we go along. So be sure and be safe on your travels, wherever you're going. Special thanks to Jimmy Hughes. We let him jump out of here early. We took a little bit of a longer segment. He's got a staff meeting right at 10 o'clock. We didn't want him being late for the first staff meeting. I'm selfish, but I'm not that selfish to keep the mayor all the way to the top of the hour when he's supposed to be on his way. But some interesting, I know a lot of, I got some several texts in here we didn't have time to get to. I am interested in some of these thoughts you guys are putting in here about the average homes costs. Some of you talking about the cost of government buildings. We will definitely save some of that stuff. He'll be back with us next month, the first Thursday. Now, it was interesting. Actually, Cress Staley stopped in. It was supposed to be his day on the radio, but last week was New Year's Day. So we actually missed Jimmy's and him being the first, you know, his first time in. Cress said, hey, well, I'll go ahead and bow out. What a good dude. What a good dude. Mayor of Washington, Cress Staley. Good dude there. One quick thing I do want to pass along, remind you of, we're going to be broadcasting live coming up on January 21st at the Morris Columbus 16th Annual Travel Expo. It's back this year at Hilton Garden Inn. I know it's a big deal for a lot of people. If you're planning your travel for the year, this is the way to do it. They're giving you a $50 gift card when you walk in to use with Morris Columbus Travel. Over 40 travel companies, discounts, seminars, prizes, travel information, and we're going to be there broadcasting live the morning of that Wednesday, January 21st. So be sure to make plans. Put it on your calendar. I mean, you literally, it's if you're looking to do cruises or a safari to Africa or a trip to Yellowstone, whatever it is, they're going to have it. Morris Columbus Travel, 16th Annual Travel Expo coming up in just a couple weeks. Looking forward to that. We'll be there broadcasting live for it. We'll have Gary Sorensen in studio one more time before we get to that. So we'll have that for you. Again, it's on January 21st. That's going to do it for me. I'm Dale Desmond. This is Southern U Talk. Again, thanks to Jimmy Hughes, the new St. George mayor, stopping in. Closing time.